You are listening to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio, brought to you by M Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I'm your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my colleagues, Carol Flammer and Todd Youngblood. Guys, Friday the 13th.
I love it. I'm always at my best on Friday the 13th.
Boy, that doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, I think it was the lineup of the stars when I was born or something. I don't know.
Must be. Carol, how are you this morning?
I'm great. The movie Friday the 13th still scares me, but the day, it doesn't at all.
The day doesn't bother me. I've never been worried about it. Anyway, so...
Want to borrow my chainsaw?
Yeah, absolutely.
But a quick gander at our guest indicates this might be an interesting show. I want to welcome Ray Kiefer, who is the president of sales and marketing at Crown Communities. Ray, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Before we get into a conversation, Ray, take a second. Just tell us a little bit about you, your company, and your background.
All right. A little bit about me. I've been in the Atlanta real estate market here for probably about 10 years now. Always been pretty much in new construction. Recently been started back with Crown Communities about 2 years ago now. And I've made full circle. I was one of his first on-site agents close to 10 years ago. Glad to be back at a place where I feel home. And hopefully if I can sell some more houses, he'll keep me around because it feels good to be here.
Tell us a little bit more about Crown Communities. Some of our listeners may not be familiar with the company. I know you've got a lot of homes in several markets.
Part of the reason when I was really flattered about the invitation was to get our word, get the word out for Crown on the north side of town. We've been bread and butter. South side of town is where we've been, and we're looking to transition to the north side. So we are a multi-divisional, I call it. We're a mom and pop's builder that's started to build a good bit of houses. We have now branched out from Atlanta to Alabama, South Carolina, in different regions: Greenville, Aiken, Augusta, we're getting a good reputation in a lot of different areas for a builder who can provide a lot of quality at a good value.
Ray, you talked about moving to the north side. Where specifically on the north side of Atlanta?
A few different places. We've had a little bit of success in Forsyth. We've got a new subdivision we're really excited about right now in South Forsyth, right near the new hospital up there called Saddlebrook. We also have a new one coming up at Hamilton Mill, right through the main stage, the gates, right by the water mill at Hamilton Mill, that's going to start probably in about 2 weeks as well. So we're getting really excited about getting a few great locations on the north side, transitioning that way.
Talk a little bit more about the details of the homes in one or both of those communities you just mentioned.
I think what sets us apart from a lot of our competition is, you know, there's a lot of people who have been able to produce a large value in their homes, but they haven't been able to keep up with the quality. The interior of our homes offer a wide variety of details that we've found the buyers today are demanding. The quality of the trim levels, the granites, the marbles, all those things that are included features in our homes, but we're still able to offer a value that people really seem to clamor to right now.
So in terms of numbers of bedrooms and bathrooms, I mean, what are people demanding? Is it a 5-bedroom house or 4 bedrooms, or what do you see out there, Ray?
Depends a little bit on the areas. We are seeing a little bit more on the north side where people are being a little bit more looking a little bit more to a downsizing. We've seen that in different areas, yet in some places they won't look at you unless you have 4 or 5 bedrooms. So it really is dependent on the area of where we're at.
Because of the market conditions over the last couple of years, it seems like a lot of the first-time buyers have been holding off, but I imagine they're flooding back into the market now. What are those kind of folks looking for?
Well, it's funny now that buyer has changed, so their needs have changed. In my opinion, you know, a first-time home buyer at this point is a little bit different. They're looking up into that $200,000 price range. A lot of them are using FHA, where you've got to have your 3.5% down. There's not that person that, you know, can get in with a lot of no-money-down programs. There are some still out there, but the majority of them have changed. They've gone through the economy. They've kept their job. They've got a good credit score. They're walking in confident, and they're looking for, they're demanding things at this point, but the demands are a little bit different. That price point for a new home buyer a lot of times is, you know, 190s and 200s, where, you know, that wasn't it, you know, 7-8 years ago. You know, if you were in the lower price point, you had a grasp on it. I think it's changed a little bit, and our price points have dictated that as well. We do sell a little bit higher.
So it looks like you have 25 communities in Atlanta.
Yeah, and growing. We've got about 7 or 8 new, so I'm hoping that number will go up.
A lot. And your priced from the 130s up to 180. Do you think that's going to go up on the north side of town?
It's still a little bit. The new community we're talking about, though, is going to start in Forsyth, is going to start in the 170. So we still try to keep that. Well, we're looking for good land positions so we can get the prices low.
All right, we'll be back with Ray Kiefer after this commercial break. HGTV's hit series Property Virgins is coming to the greater Atlanta area. Does the idea of buying your first home overwhelm you and cause you undue stress? We can make the process less stressful and give you the help that you need with one of the most important decisions of your life. We are looking for people who plan on buying their first home between April and September 2012. Please email propertyvirgins at cineflix.com, that's CINEFLIX.com, for more information about appearing on HGTV's Property Virgins. And we're back with Ray Kiefer with Crown Communities.
Ray, talk a little bit about trends. What kind of things are changing, and what do you see changing over the next 3-4 years?
The first thing is what I spoke on a little bit earlier was the buyer's needs are different as far as being a first-time home buyer. They're demanding a little bit more. You know, granite countertops have become a standard. There's no question. You know, we don't have granite. Even in our lower price points, you know, it comes standard with granite. And their demands overall, as far as quality goes. When they come in, they expect to be treated with the most delicate hands, because they are who they are. They have a great character. They still have their job. The quality level of when you walk in the door to any new home community had to be taken up a lot right now, because the quality of the buyer has gone up a lot. A lot more analytical buyer. You better have your facts straight, because they're going to know as much about your homes as a lot of your new home sales agents do. As a matter of fact, they may pride themselves in knowing more about your competitor than you do. And you got to be ready for it, so they demand it.
Yeah, certainly a savvy buyer, and they've done a lot of shopping online. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, you know, amenities. Amenities, no amenities. I mean, does today's buyer demand a swimming pool or not?
I think it's a little bit different. Again, depends on the market, but here again, the economy has dictated that a little bit. Everyone's heard the term staycation right now. Well, that's a little bit more important. You know, there's spring break now where a lot of folks don't have that money to get out. So we try to provide that in those communities where we feel like that's important to them, where they can stay there and have a great time in their community. So it is important in certain areas.
Harder as it is to believe, you did acknowledge you have some competitors out there, but what's different about Crown Communities? What sets you guys apart?
I think what sets us apart is the combination of quality and value. A lot of times we see a lot of people that can provide a great value, but not a great quality. We do a combination of the two. We have a quality control program with several people that go around before you walk into your house. You're going to have somebody on our standards that's going to judge it before you walk in, and they demand it. No doubt about it. There's a different buyer, a different expectation of what it was 5 and 6 years ago. You've got to be able to produce the value and the quality at the same time, which is a difficult combination to do, which we've seemed to do a pretty good job at, according to most of our customers.
If I'm walking through a new home, and I'm looking for quality, what two or three things should I really focus in on to say, okay, I'm in a quality home right here?
Craftsmanship. I think if you look at the details, if you're going through, a lot of times things were somewhat, if they look slapped together, you know, that's how they're going to come out. Part of it is the upkeep. By being a new home builder in the new home industry, there's a lot of things that you take for granted that a buyer would not as they're going through a new home. For instance, there's a piece of weather stripping in the back of a door that's gone. You may look at that and go, oh my gosh, you know, there's a problem with that. It's not a problem. They're just a piece of weather stripping. Something small that a buyer looks at and goes, oh my goodness. But as new home professionals, we know that that's not that big of a deal. But going back to my point is that those spec homes have to be immaculate when they walk in. The expectations of the buyer when they walk in, anything small can create skepticism in their mind. And it has to be perfect when they walk in the door.
So I guess that's why you have your tagline of, better inside and out.
Yes, absolutely. And that's truly our our motto. From the inside, meaning the insides of the home, to the outside, we truly try to focus on each aspect of what we do.
I asked you a little bit earlier about first-time home buyers. How about an older gentleman such as myself? Which one of your properties do you think a guy like me would be interested in? Downsizing, you know, family's grown and gone.
Well, I'll tell you, one of our best selling floor plans on one of our new additions that we made last year has been a part of that. We have a few holes, I like to call, in our lineup that we filled in this last year. And one of them's a great master on the plan, a master on the main plan. Has been one of our best sellers. That's been one of the things that has really helped us. Another would be a multi-generational, I call, with two masters up to three masters, meaning, you know, maybe we are going to have a master on the main level. We're going to have a master upstairs so that, you know, those parents, you know, maybe a college kid coming back in can move back in. No?
No.
Okay. Well, maybe in your house, but there's a lot of houses.
No, I'm kidding.
Todd's sitting here thinking, no. And I'm sitting here thinking, three masters? I've not heard of a builder. I mean, that sounds like it's a differentiation point. I haven't heard of anyone else building three masters.
Well, we do that for that same thing, really. The parents, maybe the older parents on the main level, to keep them on the main level, the other parents on the top level, and that college graduate that just came back that can't find a job yet, he gets the other big room. So,
Ray, we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about Crown Communities?
You can find us on the web at crownus.com. We've just launched our new site. A lot of great information there. You can get all of our information, communities, locations, amenities, whatever you need. It's all at crownus.com.
All right. Ray Kiefer, President of Sales and Marketing of Crown Communities. It was great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right. That wraps this segment. We'll be back with our next guest after today's Deal of the Day.
So, Todd, what time is it?
Well, Delaney, it's time for today's deal of the day. Carol, what have you got for us?
Todd, it's April, so we have a no fooling promotion from Acadia Homes.
No fooling.
No fooling. So buyers get a $10,000 incentive toward options, closing cost, or homeowners association dues when they buy this month.
So that's just like getting a check for 10 grand.
Yeah. 10 grand.
How do you apply it to homeowners association? That's interesting. Tell me more about that.
So, you know, homeowners associations charge fees each month. It's going to vary by community and area of town, but you can take the $10,000 and apply it toward your monthly fees.
That can cover those fees for several years.
Yeah. I mean, again, it depends on the community and what kind of amenities they have. But yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So then they also have a promotion for realtors with gas prices as high as they are. And I know we're all feeling that at the pump. They are offering gas cards for all contracts in April. So a $500 gas card for any agent who is able to close a home during April.
Oh, so that's for the agents when they
close. That's for the agents. Ah, okay. So the buyers get $10,000 any way they want it, pretty much, and the agents get a $500 gas card.
Well, this
sounds
is
like
awesome.
A win-win situation.
I'm telling you, it is. It gets my vote for the coolest deal of the day of this month.
Well, I'll tell you what, because if I'm a realtor, that's a big chunk of my expenses every month.
The
last thing I want to do is not take a buyer out to one more home that day. I mean, that could make the difference on getting a commission on a home or not.
Right. And of course, Acadia has lots of opportunities all over town. They've got homes from the 100s to the 500s, single family, active adult, and townhomes, ranging, you know, everywhere. Kennesaw, Braselton, Marietta, North Fulton, Ackworth, Powder Springs, Smyrna Vinings, Woodstock, Cumming, and even in-town Atlanta.
So it applies to any property.
Any of their properties. So there's definitely something for everyone.
And you said Ackworth on that list?
I said Ackworth
on
this list.
You know how much I love West Cobb.
Well, and I know you really like Smyrna, too.
I do. Yeah, it's closer in.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I can never make up my mind. Well, they're all over the place anyway, so it doesn't matter, does it?
Absolutely. They're everywhere.
So to qualify for this deal, you have to...
You have to purchase during April or sign a contract during April. So, you know, it can close later, but, well, let me double check here, make sure it says contract. It does say contract, so you just got to sign a contract during April.
And same deal for the realtors?
Okay. Yep.
All right. Where can I get more information on this, Carol?
Get more information by visiting acadiahomes.us.
Okay. Well, that wraps today's deal of the day. Okay, and we're back with our next guest. I want to welcome Hugh Morton, who is the author of The Great American Housing Fiasco. Welcome to the show, Hugh.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, before we get into a conversation around this book, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your background?
I'm probably not your typical builder. I actually started off teaching economics at Auburn. Spent a 16-year career after that in finance. Actually was CEO of an SNL during the worst of the SNL crisis. You know, there have been two major economic calamities in my lifetime, and somehow I wound up being a major player in both of them. And, of course, at this point, since 1991, I've been a builder, developer, mortgage company partner with Countrywide, and realtor, and even did the first TAD in Clayton County. We've been, and on top of that, we set up a community bank, which ironically failed a year ago, and that's sort of part of what I've included in my book.
So your book is fascinating to me, having lived through the real estate, you know, crisis of recent years and been working in real estate for 15 years now. And it sounds like your background really set you up perfectly to have some, you know, overview and perspective on this.
Yeah, I tell people I wore a lot of hats during this crisis. And of course, I had the background of a quasi-economist and a finance expert. And even I've even done appraisals. I mean, I had a lot of perspectives on this thing that the typical builder probably or developer doesn't have.
Hugh, I know better than to try to point the finger at one person or one group that caused this whole fiasco. I mean, there are a lot of different players. There's banks, there's builders, there's politicians. Who talk a little bit about what caused this whole
thing. This was the first thing I did in my book chapter was to say that, look, there wasn't a single cause of this. And those people have been trying to blame one particular entity. They're making mistakes. You know, what we had, I guess you want to say the genesis thing started back in maybe 1993 when the Clinton administration developed what they called their national homeownership strategy, which began with some housing initiatives that, you know, 93, 94, 95, and of course in 97 we had the FHA-approved down payment assistance, which really became 100% loans. But we had about a 10-year period there. You know, we began to ratchet down standards of underwriting to accommodate a group that we wanted to put into housing. I mean, it's a very noble goal, misunderstand me, but I think it was misguided. But, you know, at the same time, we had this record-long expansion of the housing industry, ran 17 years, the longest we've had history of this country. As a consequence, we eventually overbuilt it, overdeveloped it, part of it trying to accommodate this new pool of buyers that was put into the market. Well, yeah, at the same time, you got Wall Street over here trying to see how can we make profits out of this. And the main thing they did was to provide a big secondary market, particularly for hard-to-place loans. I mean, there have always been what I call, you know, these Alt-A's and subprime loans. Hard-to-place loans have always been out there, but Wall Street provided a big secondary market for these things and also for 100% loans. You know, eventually, conventional sector adopted the 100% loan premise that came from FHA. They did it with an 80% first mortgage and a 20% second, and that's where Merrill Lynch came in. They pioneered this 80-20 piggyback, as they call them, and they found a secondary market for those, the second mortgage at 20%. I was saying, then who the fool's buying these things? But they had figured out a way to provide some insurance of a sort with these derivatives and credit default swaps you've heard so much about.
How do we get out of this thing? I mean, I look at it, and it still confuses the daylights out of me. And in my soul, I wanted to say, okay, we as a nation have this thing fixed. Are we at least moving in the right direction to fixing the flaws that were in the whole system?
Well, you know, one of our problems, reason this recovery has taken so long, is that housing hasn't been a part of it. Every recession we've had since the 30s, housing led the way out. But we've been trying to recover without housing. Problems there. We still have this tremendous, terrific deflation going on in housing that hasn't subsided. You know, we'd never had this in the history of this country. Even in the 30s, and I checked this, values dropped from 29 to 33 about 8 to 10%. And by 1935, it had recovered to where it was in 25. But we're down now 35% from 06. Last year, we were down 4%. Even as late as January, we were still dropping. In Georgia, the last 12 months, it dropped 12.8%. That's more than it did in the whole history of the Great Depression. We've never had a scenario like. I can tell you some of the reasons for that. If you want to get into that now, I'll save that for later. But, you know, we've got a structure that is creating a lot of this. It's got very little to do with supply and demand. In fact, it is conflicting. the true supply and demand activities or mechanisms, I should say.
All right, we'll be back with Hugh Morton after this commercial break. HGTV's hit series Property Virgins is coming to the greater Atlanta area. Does the idea of buying your first home overwhelm you and cause you undue stress? We can make the process less stressful and give you the help that you need with one of the most important decisions of your life. We are looking for people who plan on buying their first home between April and September 2012. Please email propertyvirgins at cineflix.com, that's CINEFLIX.com, for more information about appearing on HGTV's Property Virgins. And we're back with Hugh Morton, author of The Great American Housing Fiasco.
Hugh, I think it's interesting that you mentioned that typically housing helps lead the way out of the recession and that that just hasn't happened this time. You know, tell us, you know, what do we need to do specifically to rebound housing and have it lead the way?
Well, big problem right now, there are two things inhibiting it, are the appraisals that we're getting. I think the last 12 houses I sold in Atlanta, all of the appraisals came in less than what somebody wanted to pay me. The notion of a buyer and a seller, that, you know, market value is what a knowledgeable buyer and seller, an arm's length transaction, you know, is market value, is not the case anymore. It's what appraisers seem to think it is. I've had even, you know, it's less than $20,000, but it's coming less than what somebody wants to pay me. Secondly, we've got some ultra strict underwriting standards, and as a consequence, a lot of loans are not closing. A big article in LA Times Sunday about the fact that there's so many snags out there that are keeping contracts from closing. I talked to agents. They say it's really not a problem now of finding buyers. It's a matter of getting appraisals and getting underwriting completed.
You, as a homeowner, I've always loved to have that mortgage interest deduction. And yet if I'm not an economist by any way, shape, or means, but I look at it and think, why would the federal government, why would everybody else in the country subsidize one particular industry by having that deduction? What's your view on that home mortgage interest?
Well, you know, ever since the 30s, you know, housing has been a political priority. It's been a priority for this country, and they've taken a number of steps to promote home ownership, you know, believing that it helps provide stability for the economy and for the country socially. And as a consequence, they've given a tax break. Now, whether it's justified or not, I don't know. It's always helped housing, and obviously being a builder, our trade organization has always fought to keep it. And if I put my economist hat on, so to speak, I might say, well, maybe you're correct. Maybe it's not something that the rest of the population should support, subsidize.
Looking forward, I mean, are we coming out of this now? Should we be optimistic about the housing market or cautious still?
Cautious. We've got to correct a few things. As I mentioned, you've got appraisers out there scared. They're frightened. You know, they're afraid of reappraisals. They're afraid of being sued. They're afraid of the FDIC subpoenaing all the records. And all this is happening now. As a consequence, they're taking an ultra-low approach. They're taking personal safety. And as a consequence, we're getting low-ball appraisals. And until some of that changes, I don't know how we're going to get out of this.
It's interesting to hear your perspective because I hear a lot from builders that, you know, it's hard for us to sell our houses for their value because of the foreclosures in the neighborhood. So, but what I hear you saying isn't necessarily the foreclosures, it's just the pessimism of the market.
Obviously, see, what's happening is appraisers are using these foreclosures as their comparable sales data, which they shouldn't be. Even their own literature says the only case they should do that with are none others are available. And even then, national statistics show that the difference between an arm's length sale and a foreclosure sale is about 25-30%. So they should be making an adjustment. I may just point my book. They should make an adjustment for that to bring it up to its on par with an arm's length sale. Otherwise, they're dragging values down. Because this is what happens. You know, you get a lender that's got to make sales, so they're discounting it below market to get a quick sale. And they make a sale, but what happens in that comparable, that sale brings all the values down with it. They slide down that plateau. Well, to make then a quick sale, what does Lynn have to do next? They've got to drop even lower to another plateau, and in time, all the values slide down it. I've seen some subdivisions, we've got drop four different plateaus. And we're down now to cost far below, prices and values far below what it takes to build a house. I mean, there most of the markets I'm in right now, I cannot take even a reasonably priced lot and build a house and get my money back.
Hugh, one of the many factors that you have to consider when you're buying a home is interest rates. And, I mean, in my lifetime, I've never seen interest rates as low as they are now. Can this last? Are they going to stay low? Do I want to buy now because of the interest rates?
It kind of debunks the idea, doesn't it? The interest rates is the main determinant. I mean, we've been low now, what, in the 3% range even. This is probably the best time that's been in my lifetime, certainly, to buy a house. You've got prices that have been beaten down, and you have interest rates exceptionally low, I mean, historically low. If I was a potential home buyer, I'd be about trying to make a deal. But, you know, a lot of them are. But here again, the underwriting requirements, we've kind of, like a pendulum, we swung from one extreme to another. Instead of finding a happy medium in this somewhere, it's gotten exceptionally difficult. Of course, then you've got to get an appraisal for it. If you go to these sales meetings with these agents out there, the main thing you hear is complaints about appraisers and underwriters killing the deals.
All right, Hugh, we're out of time. Before we let you go, please share with the audience how they can get in touch with you and where they can get their hands on a copy of this book.
Well, you can get the book from Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and it is in Kindle and Nook, or you can go to our website, thegreatamericanhousingfiasco.com, and we can sell you paperback a little cheaper.
All right. Well, Hugh Morton, author of The Great American Housing Fiasco, it was great to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
All right. Well, that wraps this show. On behalf of today's guests, Ray Kiefer and Hugh Morton, my co-hosts, Carol Flammer and Todd Youngblood, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.